Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Digital Marketing Agency Builders Podcast. In this show, we discuss the rapidly advancing digital marketing industry and how to grow a profitable marketing agency with some of the best minds in the space. Since 2015, Tyler Narducci has been building and scaling his own digital agency, helping businesses grow and market their services and products through online advertising. Now, he's helping other startup digital agencies launch and scale rapidly to six figures with the Done For You Agency Program. If you are interested in taking your agency to the next level and skip all those painful mistakes most have to make by learning directly from those killing it in the digital agency space, then apply now at dfy-agency-program.com/scale. That's dfy-agency-program.com/scale. There will be a clickable link in the podcast show notes below. Now, let's dive into today's episode.
Welcome, everybody, to the next episode of the Digital Marketing Agency Builders Podcast. Today with me, I have Frederick Valleys. Fred is a Silicon Valley entrepreneur, author, and leading influencer in pay-per-click search marketing. As one of Google's first 500 employees, he helped pioneer PPC marketing as the company's first AdWords evangelist. Today, he serves as a co-founding CEO of Optimizer, a leading and award-winning PPC management platform. After publishing his first book, Digital Marketing in an AI World, Future-Proofing Your PPC Agency in 2019, Fred is currently working on his second book about automation and how to use it to gain a competitive advantage. As a sought-after industry thought leader, he contributes to leading marketing publications and conferences and is routinely called upon by journalists, writers, and podcasters like myself for his insights and visions. Fred, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here. I have a ton of questions for you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Tyler. Great to be here.
Absolutely. So we'll just dive right in. So first, you are a co-founder of a company called Optimizer that is making some big waves in the PPC world. Can you explain to us what Optimizer does and how the company came to be?
Yeah, so Optimizer is a PPC management software suite. And it's really about saving time for PPC professionals. We figure that if you work on digital marketing, maybe you enjoy having a weekend, an evening off to be with your children, your significant other, whatever, or just go to a movie by yourself if that's what you want to do. And we know there's so much happening in PPC and digital marketing that it's often hard to get that time back, right? So that's really what the software is about, making you more efficient and making your campaigns more efficient as well. So better results in less time. Why did we start it? Well, I was at Google from 2002 until 2012. And being there, I saw all of these gaps in what Google was building. So they'd build these amazing advertising capabilities. But then there was a best practice that, based on that, that was really, really tedious. And Google, for some reason, wasn't solving kind of like that time-intensive best practice and how you would execute on that. And that's where we saw the opportunity. We said, we can just layer on top of Google and make these amazing tools available that really save people time. In the beginning, that was a lot of scripts. Nowadays, it's all API-based. It's all hugely scalable. And we work with a variety of really big accounts, but also really small accounts and freelancers. So kind of runs the gamut of who we work with.
So when you say best practices, you mean, you know, strategies in optimizing Google ads?
Exactly, right? So a good example would be shopping ads. If you're going to be running shopping ads, there's probably a particular structure that you want to maintain. So if you sell products in 15 different categories, you probably have different bidding goals for those categories because each category has different profitabilities, right? There's different promotions that you might run. So you can't just give all of those things to Google in a single campaign and hope for the best. A best practice is often to split it out so that you have more control over your target return on ad spend that you're going to set. And so that can quickly become tedious because, you know, if you have 10 product categories, great, you quickly set up 10 campaigns. But if you have a bigger store and you want to have a more granular structure, I've literally spent a whole week setting up the structure manually because Google doesn't have a tool that lets you say, I want to split everything by the brand, the category, and then the product ID, right? In Google, you literally have to do the division of the 15 brands that you have, and then you have to go into each brand, and then you have to subdivide that by the 15 categories. And quickly, this becomes an exponential problem where you're doing 1,000 times the same click, when I could have specified, like I just did, in 10 seconds, here's my division, and our machines can go and build that for you. And not only can they build it, they can also maintain it. So, you know, how sometimes you get a new brand, or sometimes you launch into a new product category. We'll pick up on that from your merchant feed, and we'll go look at your Google Ads account. We'll say, oh, look, this brand is missing, and you like to have brands in each campaign, so let's make a new campaign. And so we just maintain that structure for you on the fly. So that's just one of the many examples.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I can definitely see how that can help save a ton of time and guesswork on the advertiser's part. Side question, I wasn't even planning to ask you this, but as you're telling me about what Optimizer does, why do you think a behemoth like Google wouldn't think of this? Wouldn't say, hey, for our advertisers, we want to make it as easy as possible for them to have the best effect as possible. Why would it take, someone brilliant like you to have to build Optimizer to do that for people? Wouldn't Google and Facebook and TikTok, wouldn't they want to have like the easiest, most like best things there? And like, why do you think that's not happening on their end?
Yeah, you just call me brilliant, so thank you for that.
Well, I mean, if you're helping all these people, you know, optimize their ads where they don't have to do all this guesswork or it takes a ton of time. I mean, in the ad world, that is pretty brilliant because it can be very tedious, like you said. So why wouldn't Google do that themselves?
Yeah, I think there's really two reasons, right? So first of all, Google works with so many advertisers. When I was working at Google, we sort of made these decisions about should we have, back then it was called AdWords, should we have an AdWords for travel, an AdWords for e-commerce, an AdWords for retail, lead gen. And we said, no, let's just keep one AdWords, not Google Ads, and let's layer things on top of that. But so it's like a common infrastructure that everyone can benefit from. But as you can probably guess, that does mean that they have to make product decisions that aren't the best for each of those individual verticals. That makes things harder, right? So that's step number one. And then the other one is that the structure that I just described from a shopping campaign perspective, Google is sort of on the fence whether they probably wouldn't advocate for this. Google would actually go to you and say, listen, you should just dump all your products into a single campaign, even more so today than in the past, because they figure their automated systems, their artificial intelligence, machine learning, is just going to figure it out. And when it comes to Google, they have these bidding strategies like maximize conversions or maximize revenue. And the way that you maximize overall revenue is by being able to take like high performing products and dual subsidize the low performing products. And it sort of like raises the average. But from an advertiser perspective, like, do you really like it that your good stuff is subsidizing your bad stuff? Or would you like to know that your bad stuff is not performing quite as well and figure out a way to lift that up as well, to raise the average even higher? And mathematically speaking, it's about this, right? There's usually a local maximum on the efficiency curve. And if you put all your products together, you get one maximum on the curve, the maximum performance. If you start splitting things by categories or by profitability margins or by some other common thing, now you can actually start finding the individual maxima across each of those groupings. And then when you put those together, you might actually get better results than if you put everything together. So it's kind of like Google's not entirely on board with this, but we've seen when our advertisers do it, they are more successful.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, as a digital marketing agency owner myself and someone that works with a bunch of agency owners all day in my coaching program, one of the frustrations that we see, it's been since the beginning of time, but I'm a lot more familiar with Facebook than Google because I built my agency originally around Facebook ads. And what kills us is like Facebook's recommendations and Facebook's, when they try and contact you as the advertiser we have suggestions on how you can improve your campaigns. Like, they're garbage. Like, they're terrible advice. They're like low level marketing strategists that literally have never run an ad in their life. And they come on looking at like, you know, a professional ad buyer's setup. And they're like, we think you should add some brand awareness campaigns to this. And it's like, what? Like, no, like it's a, why? No. And then what really is the kicker is when they, as an advertiser and agency owner, when they contact your clients directly and say, hey, we saw your campaigns and we think they can be doing better. And you're just like, oh, thank you, Facebook, for messing it all up and putting that seed in the, you know, the mind of your client that, you know, oh, maybe they say we should be doing it better. So should we be doing it better? And meanwhile, you know that their advice is just for the masses. That's, and generally to make more money.
Absolutely the worst, like you described, when the engine bypasses the agency who's been hired to do this, right? And then puts out a different message, messes up your strategy. Yeah. I hate that. And Google was very cognizant of that in the beginning. They did some of this, but now they've gotten much better at respecting these boundaries.
Not Facebook.
but what Google still is doing is they also have an opportunities tab, and they make these recommendations, and they're programmatically based recommendations. And they're not horrible. I mean, people by and large don't like them because the Google always gives suggestions that help their revenue, right? Now,
right.
Usually their revenue is aligned with your success, but not always. And this is one of the funny things. So when Google, they have an automated bid strategy, which is maximize conversion value. Interestingly, conversion value, that's revenue, right? Most companies don't just want to maximize revenue. They want to maximize profit, right? The way that you maximize the revenue is by actually reducing your profit to zero, mathematically speaking. So this is really counter to what most people want. And so the suggestions that they give you are to do the thing they think you might want to do. But in fact, you should actually care about profit. And that's why you become frustrated with those suggestions, because there's a misalignment. And so what Optimizer actually has been able to do is we take what it is that advertisers really want, and we have a different set of suggestions that we surface that are usually more in line with your actual goals. And we'll even take the Google ones, and some of the Google ones are good, but we'll run those through a secondary filter that we put in place and say, okay, well, here's what Google told you. They had like 50 suggestions, but we've identified 5 of those that actually make sense, and the other 45, yeah, probably don't do those, right? So yeah. For us, it's really about building that trust and being that independent player that helps you achieve what you want to achieve.
Love it. So can you briefly tell me what it was like being one of the first 500 employees at Google, and what are your thoughts, good or bad, on where the company is heading now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's super fun being one of the first 500. It was also super stressful because the job that I had, I have an electrical engineering degree from Stanford. So for context, but my initial job was reviewing ads that people were submitting. So I'd look at lists of keywords and the ads that they'd written, because none of this approval was automated. So they needed humans to look at it.
Wow.
And the reason they needed humans was because they had just done a deal with AOL. So they were syndicating these ads. When the ads were showing on Google, they didn't care. They were like, if the worst ad in the world shows up on Google, like, it's our startup, we piss somebody off, it's fine. But now they got this AOL deal, $50 million or something. That was the lifeline for Google. If we showed a bad ad on AOL, they would cancel the relationship, we'd lose all this money, and Google would basically be out of business. So it was like this high pressure of, yeah, you're reviewing thousands upon thousands of ads every day. If you make a mistake, you're instantly fired. Okay, so that was the pressure part, which wasn't fun.
Wow.
But the fun part was, after work, I'd go and play hockey on the parking lot with Sergey, one of the founders. Larry wasn't playing at the time anymore, but I played roller hockey with Sergey. Larry came to parties at my house. I was invited to Larry's birthday party. And at the time, I was like, who cares? Like, I've got better stuff to do. So I actually didn't go to Larry's birthday party, even though I was invited.
Wow.
Right, but it's sort of these kinds of little things. And I mean, Google was working on so many cool projects at the time, even, and it was really inspiring. We were hearing these stories about people finding long-lost relatives and solving really big problems by having a better search engine, and that's why we were working hard to sustain the business portion, the business part, right, the thing that was making money for Google, so that they could do these other things that were really benefiting the world. Where is it headed now? I mean, I left because it was getting a little bit too corporate and too by the book in a way. So I had an evangelist role. But then one of the management shifts happened, and they came to me and they said, listen, you got to figure out how to scale this evangelist role to the whole company. We love the type of thing you're doing, but like, let's put structure around that, like create decks, do everything from the office. And I was like, well, no, the whole reason that an evangelist role works is because you put a human face to this like huge behemoth, like you said, to this product. You actually get someone up on stage being held accountable to the things that the advertiser community has asked Google to fix. And if that's not fixed by the next time I go up on that stage, like they're going to be out there with their pitchforks, right? So yeah. It's sort of a unique role that you can't just standardize and have the whole sales team replicate. And so at the time, this was 10 years into my Google career, I was like, well, I can probably go and do something else. So at that point, I left. Google sort of headed down more of that very structured path. But then at the same time, a lot of the projects they do, I still love it. I still think Google's heart is in the right place. Google Enterprise is a more challenging organization because it has a lot of the Oracle culture, which is very counter to the Google culture. And that's just based on the management that they brought in. But yeah, by and large, I still love Google. And I think the people at Google want to do the right thing. And given the framework that they have, it's often slower than it should be. Right. And so right now we're dealing with performance max. We're dealing with increased automation, a lack of control, a lack of insight, keyword match types. We can talk about that, right? So exact match is no longer exact. That's frustrating to advertisers. Some of these shifts are happening for the right reasons because artificial intelligence, machine learning is getting better at identifying what the user wanted, not just based off of what they typed in, but kind of based off of all the other things happening around that user. And that's valuable, right? Because that could be a prospective new lead for me as an advertiser. But it is frustrating because if I had these exact match keywords because I thought very deeply about what I wanted to show my ads for, then I've just lost that control. And so finding that balance in that new world is really what we need to figure out. I think Google's still a good place.
Yeah, I would put my money on them figuring it out for sure. So I love the title of your book that includes the line "future-proofing your PPC agency," because honestly, I think it's absolutely critical for today's agency owners to be thinking about the future and constantly be adapting that future in this industry. What do you see as some of the biggest changes that are already happening in our industry?
Yeah, I mean, so the biggest change is definitely automation. A lot of the things that we used to control manually, the thousands of things like managing the keywords, the specific ads, all the bid adjustments, the bids themselves, the budgets, the ad extensions, so many things, that is now more and more being handled by Google's automation. So it's sort of raising the question, like, are we the truck drivers who are being eventually put out of business because we're going to have self-driving trucks do what we did? And so my argument is that, no, there's still actually many great things that you can do to future-proof your agency or your career in PPC. And it's just about figuring out, but it's first about acknowledging this basic premise that humans plus machines are better than the machines alone. And they're also better than the humans alone. Right. If you as a human go in and you hold so tight to everything that you've been doing manually in the past, you're not going to be setting yourself up for success. And by the way, I mean, I talked to too many agencies or too many consultants who charge far too little for their time. Right. And it's like, well, you already charged a little and you're doing the things that the machine could do automatically. So like, where's the value you're bringing? You got to up-level yourself. You got to be more strategic. And in this whole shopping campaign example that I gave, I mean, so what's the benefit of doing something in 10 minutes versus 1 week? Well, it's that you now get the whole week to think about, hey, what's happening in the world? The world is crazy these days, right? I mean, it's been crazy for years. And every week there's something new. There's a supply chain issue. There's a new conflict breaking out. There's another, God knows what's happening. Like, we need to be consultants to our clients, our companies, and we need to contextualize these things, and we need to feed the machine some of that context and help the machine be better, because the machine doesn't contextualize the world the way that we do. And so there's a lot of stuff that we can do there. And I actually have three roles that I equate that to. So when you as a human, you're working with the machines, you can be the PPC doctor, the PPC pilot, and the PPC teacher. And this is all described in a lot of detail in the book. But basically, as a PPC doctor, your client comes to you and says, this is what's wrong with my campaign, right? They come to you because they want something more. They want something better. Something's broken. Now, you can go in and you can say, well, there's all of these solutions that we could deploy to fix your problem, right? Say you wanted more leads, more conversions. Well, we could put you on automated bidding. We could maybe switch your match types from exact to broad. But how do these things interact? If you're switching to automated bidding, but you're leaving your client on a last click attribution model, which used to be the standard in Google, that's a recipe for disaster, right? So, but as a doctor, you kind of know how the medicines interact. You know, and by the way, when we say automated bidding, like which of the 9 types of automated bidding would you like? That's not an easy question. You have to think about that.
Yeah.
You, as the agency, you have the expertise. You've worked with other clients.
Right, so right. You have to bring the agency brings the strategy. And right now, some of the, you know, the AI and the automation helps bring, you know, more simplicity, structure, and implementation of it. But I don't think we're at a point yet where the AI is the best strategist yet. But they do a lot of really good things. So what would be some actionable items you could give to an agency owner to, quote unquote, start future-proofing their agency?
Yeah, so in terms of future-proofing the agency is definitely figure out how to work together with that automation. The concept of the new book, so Unlevel the Playing Field, and by the time people listen to this, the book will be out. But a big concept of that is about automation layering. And so the principle is simple. Google has invested millions of dollars and has hundreds, if not thousands, of engineers working on machine learning and artificial intelligence. So they are by far the best in class in that space. There is no way that you are going to build some better automation, or there's no way that you're going to outcompete them by doing things manually versus this amazing machine learning capability that they have. So give that up to Google, right? When they say broad match is just going to show your ads for all these random keywords, great. It is what it is. They do a pretty amazing job, but they're not perfect, right? And this is where we come in. So that's where we can then say, we're going to layer on some automations because me as a human, me as a PPC pilot, one of my large roles would have been to monitor that Google's machines aren't running my campaign off of a cliff because they got wrong inputs or because they're looking at the wrong data. But that's really time consuming. Right. So, but if I look at the list of what are the search queries that Google's showing me for, that takes a ton of time. But if I think about like how am I evaluating those search queries, like I'm probably looking for things that are very far from the original keyword that I had put in, right? The further it is semantically, the more likely it is to not be a great keyword for me. That's probably what I should pay attention to. If it's something like a pluralization or a misspelling, it's probably fine. Like that's amazing. Just do it for me. I don't care. But what you can do is you can write these lightweight scripts, these lightweight automations that just count the number of words or letters difference between your keyword and what Google showed your ad for. It's called the Levenstein distance. There's simple formulas you can pick up for that. You can now look at a list that says, okay, here's the search queries, the search terms that have more than 5 characters difference. Evaluate those. And you might say, by and large, like 75% of those are bad. So what I'm going to build is a little automation that runs on top of Google's sophisticated automation that just says, go and do your broad match thing. But the moment that my Levenstein distance is more than 5, make it a negative keyword because I don't want it. I don't trust it. Right. So that's automation layering. It's your lightweight, easy automations that help control the machine and steer it in the direction that you need it to be. And that's really going to future proof you because these are things that you as an agency, you have broader insight across an entire vertical. So you're going to have insights that actually really help your client go down the right path. And again, I mean, when I said you have multiple bid strategies to choose from when it comes to automation, like you'll know, you've tested with other people in the same vertical what works best and what are the exact criteria, the prerequisites you have to set up. That's worth a lot of money, right? If you're an individual advertiser and you come in and you have to figure that out from scratch, well, you're going to be wasting $10,000, $20,000 before the machine has learned what it needs to learn. You go to an agency, well, the agency just sets it up and avoids that wasted spend and gets you results right away.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's never a good idea to try and figure out ads on your own. Always advise to go with somebody who knows what they're doing and has learned a little bit along the way before you. So I know most of your experience is on pay-per-click and Google. Have you ever done anything with Facebook or TikTok ads? And if not, what are your thoughts in general on those platforms and where they're heading?
Yeah, so we do have support for Facebook in the platform. TikTok, we don't quite yet. I mean, it's just two massively different ways of advertising, right? So and it was funny because for a while, like 10 years ago, people were saying the keyword is dead. It's all about audiences. It's all about social advertising. But ultimately, it's two different things. And the expression of intent that's in the keyword, there's nothing better than that, right? If somebody types in running shoes, the fact that you know the running shoes are on their mind, that's amazing. You should show them ads for running shoes. What's beautiful, though, is when you layer the audiences on top of it, and that's where Facebook comes in, right? So knowing if it's a man or a woman, more likely to shop for one type versus another type of shoe. Age ranges, okay, different shoes. So I can now start showing more specific types of shoes. But where this is all starting to fall apart a little bit is with privacy regulations. And so we've all seen that Facebook has been massively challenged due to some of these Apple privacy regulations, due to the departure of the third-party cookie, which is it's happening too with Google and Chrome, but they keep pushing it out. So that's a good thing, right? We get more time to figure this out. But yeah, in that regard, it is challenging. But think about it in terms of like people will come to Google to search for the thing that they want, but oftentimes they may not know what that thing is they want, right? So that's where Facebook, personally, when I'm on Instagram, I mean, I see so many things of categories that I'm interested in where I get exposed to a new brand and then I start researching it and then I eventually buy it. So, but one of the bigger questions then is how do you do the attribution, right? So you may not make the sale directly off of your TikTok video or the Facebook ad or the Instagram post. It may take, I mean, the average consumer has so many touch points now before they convert, but how do you put in place an attribution model? And again, that's where an agency has a really good leg up because these are not simple questions. These are not simple technology stacks to implement. You've done it. You can do it more quickly for your client, and then you can show them the holistic picture. Oh, look, well, you thought Facebook wasn't doing much, but actually a lot of that Google traffic was driven by someone first being exposed on Facebook and putting those pieces together. And then again, once you've got those pieces together, you can get into automation layer. And now you can have a tool like Optimizer, for example, that can help you allocate budgets dynamically across the different engines based on the signals that you're seeing.
Some
really interesting stuff.
Yeah, attribution has been a big challenge, you know, across the board. And that's why you see so many different attribution companies popping up to, you know, try and overcome the gaps within the platforms like Facebook's attribution gaps. You know, there's several that have popped up in the last year since, the new iOS changes. So, you know, there are some solutions out there, but I'm hopeful that the industry in and of itself is going to overcome this, you know, challenge and be able to figure out, you know, better attribution and, you know, still deliver some type of, you know, semblance of the same quality that they were before the massive iOS changes. I will say, you know, being in ads every day, like there was a feeling that, you know, the ad apocalypse was coming across the industry when Apple announced those changes. And, you know, by and large, it didn't happen. You know, in my opinion, I don't think that, you know, all advertisers were, or even a massive chunk of advertisers were wiped out. A lot of people are still plugging along, still getting great results. And, you know, that's what we're seeing, at least on our end. So fortunate for that. And I think by the time that, you know, Google is forced to do, you know, these changes, like you said, they've been delaying it, but I'm hopeful that by the time they do have to make these changes, that they're going to kind of have it figured out on their own end.
Exactly. They're definitely going to figure it out. And this is another like way to future-proof your agency is help your clients have a first party data strategy. I mean, obviously, all this online marketing, digital marketing, it's going to continue to work. It's just that we've been able to be lazy because thanks to the third-party cookie, we've been able to get a lot of data and a lot of easy strategies to find new users, right? Now it's like, well, okay, maybe that's not okay, but you still have relationships that you can build with your customers. I mean, the moment they come to your website, that becomes a first-party relationship. Most people don't do anything with it because Facebook's been so good at doing that for you. Okay, so but your agency can help you figure out, oh, once that customer comes to us, like what kind of audience lists do we do? How do we activate that customer? How do we segment that customer? How do we then take those segments and run it into different campaigns? There's a lot of cool things you can do, but again, they take expertise, they take time, and they take sort of a deep knowledge of these systems and these new attribution platforms, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And that's where the
value of an agency and the strategy that they bring really come in. We talked briefly about AI earlier. I'm curious, do you think AI will be completely taking over small business ad buying, managing, and optimizing in the future? And if so, how soon?
I said a couple of years ago that you'd have fully self-driving cars before fully self-driving PPC campaigns. And I think I'm going to
say... You were right. I'd say you're right, yeah.
And so the benchmark for me is whether my son started third grade today. By the time he gets to middle school, which is a campus that's a little bit further away, whether I will be able to put him in a car that drives him to school without me worrying, without a driver in it. So that's sort of the benchmark. And I don't think we're there quite yet, but I think that could happen in the next 3 to 4 years. I mean, listen, with small businesses, yes, you could have a small business today almost run on a fully automated campaign. And Performance Max is not that far away from it. You basically ask for your company name, your logo, your website, and that's it. And you can get mediocre results from that.
I was going to say, it's kind of mediocre results. Like I just picture, you know, going into Facebook ads and they're asking you, well, do you want engagement? Do you want conversions? Do you want, and you like, first off, they don't even know. Most small businesses, they don't even know what they want. You know, okay. I mean, I talked to so many small business owners that don't know the difference between getting a lot of likes on their post and making a bunch of money in conversion campaigns, and that those are two different parts of the algorithm. Like they don't even have that knowledge. So there's a huge knowledge gap that the AI would have to provide, I think, in order to be more than mediocre.
Exactly. And you're right. It's a knowledge gap. Part of it is pulling the data out of the advertiser. But like you're saying, and we see this too all the time, is that many advertisers, and not just the small ones, even the big ones, they still misunderstand target setting and goals. And one classic example is if you go to a big client and you say, would you rather have a 600% return on ad spend or a 700% return on ad spend? Well, 700 sounds like the right answer, but in fact, that's not necessarily the right answer, because the more aggressive you get on how much money I want to make per conversion, that means your bids can be quite as high, right? So you become less competitive in the auction. So yes, you may get more money per sale, but you're getting fewer sales overall because you're going further down the page. So that sweet spot is somewhere in the middle. We don't know. It could be 600%. It could be 700%. We just don't know. We need to help you figure that out. But even sort of that logic of, oh, we should care about profit as opposed to these metrics that Google and Facebook and TikTok put in place. These metrics that they put in place, these are levers to getting the business results that we need, and how those connect to those business results, that's often not easy.
No.
You're right. So in that regard, small businesses, they're not going to figure this out. But maybe that's also the benefit for Google, is you give them mediocre results and you tell them, hey, you got lots of thumbs up, got lots of likes. And they're like,
right. Which really, really goes so far. Like my thought is, you know, I can see a world in the future at some point, I don't think in the next 5 years, but in some point, where Facebook, TikTok, Google, whoever is the big, you know, players at the time, would be able to have a platform that is business owner friendly. Like Facebook did really, really well with you know, Boost button. The Boost button is kind of a great example of this. Boost button is so, still to this day, is so popular with small business owners because it's so easy. Press Boost, put in $30, get a bunch of likes, and wow, I put my business out there and I got it. Look, and then you got, I got it in front of 25,000 people. Wow, for only $35. Like, the numbers on these little Boost buttons are so impressive. But when you talk to the business owner that, you know, that that says, oh yeah, I've run Facebook ads before, and you go and you find out that they've hit Boost 3 times, okay? And that's what they considered running Facebook ads. And you explain to them that that's really not running Facebook ads. You just kind of gave Facebook $35 to send your post over to a bunch of people that they know will like anything on their feed. And they did just that, right? It did nothing for your brand. It did nothing to connect your brand to anybody who would be even remotely interested in buying it. They just sent that to people that like things, right? So Facebook was really smart in that Boost button. And I could see a future where that thought process is at least as attempted to be applied to the entire advertising world, where they just make it so dumb and easy that, you know, they try to possibly remove that ad skill. I don't think we're anywhere near it today, but, you know, with really smart AI, you know, do you see a world where their super smart AI interface of these big platforms just works directly with the business owners on those types of strategies?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's far out to be fully AI. But yeah, I mean, it was Google's vision too, and Eric Schmidt at one point was like, really the ideal scenario is that a business comes to Google, writes us a blank check, and they give us like all insight into the business, right? What are the products you sell? What are the leads you generate? What is the value you generate from each of those? And then Google can go to town and just make sure that you have a positive experience where you're not wasting money. And in many ways, the AI is already enforcing these profitability measures. So we see some advertisers who have a target return on ad, or so they will say a conversion. So a lawyer might say, my conversion, I'm going to pass Google a value of $10 every time I get a lead. Right, but a lead to a lawyer is actually worth a lot more than $10, but they've just sort of put in a value to give Google something. It's not a true value. But then Google says, oh, look, it costs us $100 per click, and their potential value from that is $10. So we're actually going to throttle back the system and not show as many ads with automated bidding, because it looks to us like this is actually going to lose them more and more money. So from a business perspective, that seems like the wrong thing to do. And so in many ways, I think the AI is already cognizant of what is a good outcome, but the onus is on the business owner to provide the right information. Because if they don't do that, then the AI system is either steering towards the wrong target, or is being held back because they don't know what the true target is.
So what do you see as the general future for the digital marketing agency space?
Yeah, I mean, so mine is a positive message. I really think that PPC agencies and digital marketing agencies are going to have a lot of work in this new era of automation. It's just, it's a major shift of what that work is, right? So it's no longer pushing a gajillion buttons and dials to do the things that the machine can do much better, much faster, much more accurately. It's much more about a shift towards being like the strategist. What is it we're trying to achieve? How do these things connect to the outside world, to our business, our business data? It's about monitoring, right? So once the machines are automated, are they headed in the right direction? How do we teach the machines what's the likely impact of something like the weather? And I know we talk about weather-based bidding examples all the time in PPC, but there really is something to that. It's a classic example of an outside factor, right? The weather does impact many things. Does Google know about that for your business? Maybe, maybe not, right? But if you can teach it through better target setting, right? But by manipulating your target ROAS, for example, when you know that a weather-based event or a sales event is going to dramatically change the actual behavior versus the predicted behavior that Google is forecasting, that gives you a leg up. And so, yeah, I mean, I think there's a ton of stuff for agencies to do. It's just different. And if you hate change, then you shouldn't be in digital marketing, because it's one of the fastest moving spaces.
100%.
Exactly, right? But if you like it, if you like doing new stuff, if you like learning new techniques and tactics and strategies, then great. This is the space for you to be in.
Totally agree. So today's agency space is quite competitive. How would you suggest an agency to stand out in the crowd?
Okay, when it came to Optimizer, when automation really started to pick up within Google, a lot of our clients came to us and said, why should we still work with a tool vendor when you guys might do bids or budgets, when Google is doing that for me for free? And so It was really about how we had a message that resonated with people that made sense, right? So the automation is great, but it doesn't contextualize the world. The automation is great, but it may take $10,000 before it has learned some of the basics that are just intuitive to you. Even when it's running, it's still going to make mistakes. So you need a monitoring system to be put in place. If you put the wrong combination of automations in place, then the system might just implode on you. So all of these things, our tool set helps you prevent, helps you with the monitoring, helps you with setting things up the right way, helps you with auditing, helps you with reporting, all these things. And so it was really about a shifting of the message of the story that you tell to the prospective client. And I think it's the same thing for agencies, right? Clients will now come to you and say, well, I heard that Google has Performance Max and Google has all these automations. Like, why do I need an agency to do these things for me? Like, you guys charge a lot of money when I could get this for free from Google. And so it's about, what is your positioning? What is the value add that you bring? And there's many value adds, and they might be a little different for each company, right? So even with Performance Max, we're seeing there's a lot more video happening, and Google's going to automatically put together those videos for you. But is that really best in class? Or would you benefit from an agency that has really good creative skills? Okay, that's one thing. And then there might be a different agency that's really good at connecting your business systems. So what is your profit per product? And how does that fluctuate based on sales? And how do we continuously pump that data back into Google so that its automation can do its job, right? So that's not your classic PPC picking keywords agency, but it's still an agency thing where you understand these Google systems very deeply, and you can bridge that gap and help the customer, your customer, get better results from it. So it's a shifting of what you do and having a really crystal clear messaging of what that value proposition is.
Yeah, absolutely. Just because anyone can go and attempt to run Google ads does not mean that they should. There's a huge value in an experienced ad buying team and also all the networks, you know, that the agency has. Last question I have for you. It's my last question that I ask on every episode that we do here, but what would be your number one piece of advice for a brand new agency owner that is just starting out?
Yeah. I mean, I think we've talked about it a little bit, but it's like, how do you position yourself, right? So what is the unique value that you bring? And then that's probably something to do with what space did you come out of? So have you worked in retail? Well, then you know things about retail and what are the goals of retailers, which probably have nothing to do with CPCs and, you know, average position. I know we don't really do have average position anymore, but like all the Google stuff that they really push, let's not worry about that. You know what matters to your businesses, and now how do you translate that to a PPC world? Because that's a huge value that you bring, right? Understanding these two systems and their interaction and how you bridge that gap. That's where I would really start. And then I would say, write, blog, speak, go on podcasts, right? Share with the world what you know, because then people will say, oh, that's kind of interesting. Seems to be a smart person in that space. Let me have a consult with that person. And people may not be ready to buy at that very moment, but you start building these relationships. And then when that person is thinking, oh yeah, I actually do need some help, hopefully you're top of mind. And even if you're not top of mind, you're running a search ad. And when people now see 10 different agencies they could work with, they're like, oh, that one, we know. We've heard what they say. We like what they say. Let's work with them.
Fred, it was fantastic to have you on the episode today. We got super in the weeds on Google and PPC, and I really appreciate it. I think you brought a ton of value to the show, and I wish you all the best on your upcoming book.
Thanks, Tyler.
That's going to be it for today's episode. If you're ready to take your agency to the next level and have your leads, your team, and your sales all done for you, then apply now at dfy-agency-program.com/scale. That's dfy-agency-program.com/scale. There will be a clickable link in the podcast show notes below. See you in the next episode of the Digital Marketing Agency Builders Podcast.